The debrief is supported by Beyond Rest. Beyond Rest provides the most relaxing flotation tank experience in Australia. Locations across Melbourne. Visit beyondrest.com.au.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. All right, we're here on the debrief, and believe it or not, it's Nick Capper again.
Yep, I'm back.
He's like the Kramer of the podcast. He's like the regular. If I'm Jerry, you're Kramer.
And then I got busted for having that racist rant on stage, and my life hasn't been the same since. He never came back. He never came out of that, did he, Michael Richards?
No, we were talking about that on the podcast the other day about what could he ever come back? No, because race. It's funny, the comic Wayne Deacon was saying in there, never underestimate race in America and class in England. They're the two big things. Whereas in Australia, they're not as big a thing. Because there's so many black people in America too.
Yeah.
It's like a whole...
A lot of comics come out to Australia and they go, where are your black people?
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's kind of like a thing that a lot of American comics will open with.
Yeah. But see, we didn't have slavery. Well, we had some Aboriginal slavery, but there wasn't a lot of slavery.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yep.
Probably Indonesian slaves and stuff like that in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, there's still slavery, but...
There's still slavery, that's right, Nick.
It's corruption, but at a level... I don't know, I think Australia, we're so laid back.
Yeah.
That we're like, oh, look, our country isn't corrupt, but they're like, yeah, no, we're corrupt. We're just...
Yeah, there is.
It's operating on a different...
It's a different level.
It's a different level, yeah. It's where we can... It's not on the surface, so who cares, man?
Man, everyone's doing alright.
Everyone's doing okay.
That's why, what's his name? Russell Brand wrote that book, Revolution, about how there's going to be a revolution. It's like, not when most people can have a kebab at night and watch TV, then there's not going to be any revolution, mate.
Yeah.
That's what his mate Noel Gallagher from Oasis said. Yeah, right, everyone's going to get their pitchforks out and head down to Sainsbury's. You know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's so comfortable, it's just not going to happen.
Capitalism has made a nice, comfy blanket for people.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
exactly.
It's you can have all you want. You know.
Yeah, and even people in Australia, there's poverty.
Yeah.
The people that are there's not enough of them to start a revolution.
Yeah.
Really poor, and also they've got so much other shit on their plate, feeding their kids, health problems, addiction, whatever. Then they're not gonna. Bourgeois people start revolutions generally.
Yeah.
People say, and then the working class follow. It's normally the middle class intellectuals. Go, we should have a revolution.
Yeah, but now also you just have all this kind of infighting from different.
Yeah.
So you have like the, Trevor Noah thing. And said Trevor Noah did that set, and people go, oh, fucking, you know, it was a pretty crook set, but he did it 3 years ago and no one complained then.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, I didn't watch it, but I read about it. That's a whole thing about past... I mean, if people brought up some of my old routines, bloody hell. Not that I was ever racist, but...
There's
dodgy stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, and then so that...
No, they used to have jokes about E Street. Fucking hell. Yeah, someone brings that up. I used to do this joke about how this happened all around Australia. They added a 9 to phone numbers and 8. Remember that, when they did that?
Yep.
And I used to say... I was telling the kids, I didn't laugh the other day, about how, because I've got a very common name, Dave, the government sent me a letter to say I've got to be 9 Dave from now on. Man, they used to smash in the 90s. It was just so on topic. It was like, fuck yeah, 9 Dave, I love it.
And it's one of those ones where everyone knows it, even if they kind of don't know about that. They know it.
They know it.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should bring it back. No, it's not going to work. But we've just come from the Comics Lounge in North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which is like it's a one Melbourne comedy club that runs sort of most nights a week, like a classic comedy store or whatever in Sydney.
You feel like a real kind of TV show comic there, don't you?
Yeah.
You go there, it's got the CD room out the back.
The green room, yeah.
And it's not everyone sits there and talks and...
Yeah.
And you kind of got the big... Yeah, it's a real club, and it's nice.
Yeah, it's good, but they can get some fairly bogan crowds here, though.
Because
the thing about that, they sell tickets in the outer burbs. They have a ticket sales force.
Yep.
And they just go out and sell these tickets, and so, you know, they get... Sometimes I've had a few hairy nights there, like Bucks Nights and that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. most, I mean, my comedy's pretty mainstream, believe it or not. So it goes pretty, it always goes well there.
Yeah, you stopped clowning a while back, and that's been good, man.
Stop clowning.
You went to, you remember when you clown school?
I went to that French clown school, yeah, and that French guy called me an asshole, and I've heard stories about that. It's like,
yeah,
I did this corporate video, and the girl, one of the girls in it was saying she went there, and was like, and he's like, okay, everyone's got to kiss someone now. You got to kiss, or and she's like, I don't want to kiss any of these people. What's going on?
Yeah, the Dr. Brown guy.
Yeah, he went, didn't he?
Yeah, he's cool, and he got kicked out.
He got kicked out?
Yeah, the guy hated him, and I lived in what used to be the old Stupid Old Studios. We all lived there.
Oh, in Brunswick.
And they used to lend it out, and one time they hired it out to Dr. Brown to do one of his clown courses. And it was the weirdest week of my life. People crying. Because they make you cry. If you're not funny,
like
they go...
it's like Scientology kind of...
They go, fucking...
Do they break you down?
Yeah, break you. Yeah.
It's like the army. Well, that's crazy, though. One, who wants to do that?
One guy walked into the kitchen. Like, this is where I live. This guy walked in the kitchen and he had a goon bag and one of those big barbecue prongs in his hand.
Yeah.
And he goes, which is funnier? And that's what he said. Which is funnier?
Why do you say that?
And I was like, man, just go with what your heart tells you. And he goes, I have been trying to do that. I don't know which is funnier. And I've been trying to write a routine on this, just living with clowns for a week. It was,
clowns are...
It was hilarious.
Depressed, aren't they, people, normally?
Yeah, I don't know who they are. They're usually pretty, like, fit kind of people.
Yeah, because they do physical acrobats and stuff. That's right.
One guy... knocked on the door and said, is the clown course on today? And I said, no, man, it's not on today. And he goes, are you sure? It says it's on today. And I said, mate, I think I know when there's a fucking clown course happening in my house, okay?
get your big feet out of here, you fucking idiot. Take your little bike and go.
Oh, man. And one time I decided, because I was making heaps of noise, and I was like, it was cool. I wanted to do the course. He offered me to do the course. No, I didn't do it. He offered me to. He said you should do it for free. You're living with it. You might as well do it. And then 3 days in, I said, yeah, okay, I want to do it. And he goes, oh no, you're 3 days in.
Mate, it's three days in. You can't fucking turn up to the clown course.
Have you ever done
a course in comedy or any sort of course like that?
Years ago, I did like a hobby acting course.
Okay.
You know, it was a long time ago when I was like 19. But I just did it to meet people. And it was fun. I remember...
What, girls?
Just people. Yeah. No.
You were lonely.
I wanted to do the acting, but then also I just hung... Most of them... I was 19, and most of them were in their 30s.
God help me.
So I was just hung with this crew of like...
As Red Gun once said...
30s.
I was only 19.
I was only 19, mate.
Really? In their 30s?
Yeah, and they knew how to party.
Where was this? In Sydney?
In Sydney, yeah.
When I first started stand-up, I wanted to be a comedy writer. That's what I really wanted to do. I got into stand-up because I wanted to be a TV comedy writer. I used to watch shows like Fast Forward and Comedy Go.
Loved it.
Yeah, and also I knew in my heart of hearts that I could do that. I reckon that's one thing I could do.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the actors and think I could do that. But I used to come up with sketch ideas and go, I went to a course hosted by Alan Pentland for a weekend. Now, he was in Fast Forward a little bit. He was Ferret. Remember Magda Sabansi used to do that Sharpie dance and dress up like a skinhead?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a little bloke next to her called Ferret.
Oh.
That's Alan Pentland.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, he's funny. And so he he's from like the 70s cabaret scene with Rob Quantock and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he was the head writer at Full Frontal. Fast Forward. And so I went along this course, but they had people there that were long-term unemployed.
And had
to do a course, whether it be basket weaving or computers for a weekend. And this guy just, he kept interrupting this Alan. I knew him because he was a newsreader on a community radio station.
Yeah.
His name was Stuart Round. and he had a great voice. Because I'd listen to his he used to do the breakfast show on Triple R. So you know the one that Gerald and Hickey does now?
Yeah, yeah.
And I did for years. This guy was before my time, but he was the newsreader, Stuart Round, and he spoke like this. He had a very good voice. But he obviously didn't want to be a comedy writer. Right. And he said, he admitted, he goes, I'm only here, Alan, because the Centrelink are making me do this course.
Yeah.
So, Alan, and he sort of thought he was doing, like, an interview show. He'd say, so, Alan, tell us how you started in comedy. And Alan would go, I did the last laugh when I did this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but, Alan, where was... And eventually, Alan goes, look, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Because he was... He had to ask this guy to leave because he wouldn't shut up.
But anyway, have to ask you to leave.
Yeah, he'd ask the guy in the comedy writing course to leave.
Kicked out of a comedy writing course.
Kicked out.
Oh, basket weaving is it is.
Yeah, he had the basket weaving.
Oh, hello. So how did you first get into basket weaving?
But anyway, courses, since then I've taught them.
Do you know what was so funny about this acting course was we used to do the, Impro games before we...
Yeah, it's like theatre sports.
The theatre sports. And I had no idea about comedy, nothing. And I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, you know what you should do? You should do these... Because at the end of every 8 weeks, we'd put on a stage show, you know? And anyway, I said, you know what you should do? You should put these games on before the theatre starts. You know?
Yeah, to warm up the crowd.
Yeah, to warm up the crowd. And they were highly against it. You know, they were like, what the fuck are you talking?
Shut up, you bloody amateur.
Yeah, yeah. And then I didn't realise till I started comedy that, theatre sports is a thing. And probably the theatre is very against
it. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, the theatre would look down on that, perhaps.
But the guy who taught it, him and his wife, they were always, you know, they were just... He was in Water Rats once. That was his thing. He was like an extra in Water Rats or something like that, right? And they ran this class, and then they took over this theatre in Sydney, and me and a couple other mates who did open mic comedy years later, must have been, 10 years later or 11 years later, we asked if we could use their venue, and it was those guys. And they're like, oh, hi, David. And, you know, this is me, Nick. I was in your class. He's like, oh, yes. And him and his wife are a bit weird. And we smashed a watermelon the first night, and he went crazy.
Really?
He went off the handle, and he yelled at us. He yelled at me, Shane Matheson, Joel White, they're two really good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And he yelled at us like children, you are going to have to foot the cleaning bill for this. And, you know, he was just looking for a spot to get off.
Yeah.
And he was just very angry. And I don't know why, I never stick up for myself, but I followed him. And then I you know, kind of shirt fronted him.
Wow. And
said, don't talk to me or my cast.
That way. Use the theatre term.
Yeah. And we were just fucking open mic comics who'd written. It was the worst show possible. Anyway, then he.
Those theatre guys, because you know why? Because they all have these. There was a guy that used to live near me, and he said he was an actor, and he goes, I do acting and stuff, but, you know, I'm not really interested in any of that red carpet paparazzi stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, mate, the chances are that'll probably never ever happen to you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, seriously, you're going to stop, you're not going to act because you're scared you might have to walk down the Logie's red carpet one time? So, secretly deep down, what he's saying was, like, I'd love to be...
Yeah, yeah.
But we did this show once when I started comedy in the 94, 95, and we had this director who was a theatre director.
Yeah.
And he spoke like this, and he had a very clear, distinctive voice. And he would say, Fred, David, put this down, do it like this. And anyway, so I would say to him, so what do you do? And he goes, I'm a stage actor. I do a lot of theatre, mainly directing theatre. And I go home, I turn on Neighbours that night, and they go, we've got a new footy coach, Gary. And he walks out and goes, all right, boys. Let's grab it. It's like he was playing the footy coach on Neighbours. But he also, before our show, had our first night, my girlfriend was standing in the bar, and he heard, there's been friends set up in hats and scarves, and he goes, Cedric and, you know, Theo, you've got to remember, it's just a bit of a giggle, this show, a bit of a giggle. That's what he described the show as. It's just a bit of a giggle.
Just a bit of a giggle.
Bit of a giggle.
Steve O'Neill, chaff, he's not really going anywhere.
Yes, the theatre. I'm in the theatre.
It's so great. It's so funny.
Sometimes
though,
you meet those people and they're fantastic, though. Yeah. Some of those old actor types. They're like the best people. They're great.
I love the ones that hold their brow a lot and kind of look a bit stressed, like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that aren't stressed, they're the ones you've got to be wary about.
Well, I had friends in amateur theatre productions. Like, it's pretty tiresome.
Yeah.
Going along.
Yeah.
Like, what's this? Can I park here? I've got to do an interview in a radio station.
You're doing a midnight. Yeah, I think
I'm doing a midnight slot.
My tram's on this.
Oh, is this your tram?
Yeah.
On 3AW, which is an AM station.
Yep.
And this guy just texts me. Do you want to promote your TV show? I'm like, oh, I suppose so. Midnight on a Saturday night.
Can I go in as your manager or something?
Yeah, you can come. Do you want to come in?
I'll go in and go, excuse me, I've got Dave O'Neill at the... where's he going to be sitting and all that kind of thing?
Hey, you're welcome to come in if you want to. But do you really want to be... Can you really be fucked coming in?
What would I do, though?
Just sit there. But he might put you on.
I'll go...
You know, some of these guys are pretty loose units, especially the ones that do nights. They're like, oh, yeah, mate, you want to fucking pull up a seat?
Really? So what? But would this guy be some kind of like?
No, he's a filling guy. He's like a filling dude. So he's like, I'm filling in.
Do they just have your business card on the notice board
there? Yeah, they got my number. Yeah. I don't. 3AW is one station that I've been on like once or twice. I went on it once, like, and so it's for people. Most people don't know where it is. It's in the middle of the city, in the middle of the CBD. Yeah. And it's fucking so hard to park around here.
Yeah.
We're looking for a park now, and it's 11:30.
Yeah.
And so I struggled to get in. Dennis Walter interviews me, right? Hmm. Now, he's a singer, basically. He's a nice guy, right? And so it was like this. It was like, so I was promoting a book or something. Oh, David, you've got a book out now. It's called, Everything Tastes Better Crumbed. And it's very funny. You talk about, crumbed food. We love crumbed food. I'm like, yeah, I love crumbed food. And he goes, so what's the best bit? I go, I say about, I reckon, four sentences. And he goes, hang on, we've got a bit of an update on the bushfire situation.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, that's it. No, we've got to talk about bushfires or something now, or floods or something it was. And I was just out the door. I went, fuck, I travelled all this way for like 3 minutes or something.
I've done...
On AM stations, because I've done ABC a lot.
Yeah.
You're normally on for 15 minutes at least, because they've got nothing else to talk about.
You always got to travel to the TARDIS in South Bank to do these 5-minute interviews. Okay, I'll meet you in the TARDIS.
On the TARDIS,
and you're there for you're on there for 3 minutes. You go, you could have just done this over the phone. Why do I have to go to South Bank in the fucking TARDIS? Like, get me out of this TARDIS. They put you in this cube. About three different people walk into an elevator. You go, oh, cool, this must be a big deal. And then they get you on for like 1 minute. Okay, so what's it like dating in the country, Nick? Oh, it's this. It's so funny. But whenever you do the Ballarat gig.
They want you to go on.
They always want you
but
to go on.
But they also say, are you going to be in Ballarat at 4:30? Like, no, fuck, I'm not going to be in Ballarat at 4:30. Why would I be in Ballarat at 4:30?
The first two times I did it, I thought I was the king. I was like, because I'd moved to Melbourne and, they thought, I want you to do this. The guy goes, I see you're on this Ballarat lineup tonight. Would you like to come and do a radio spot? And I was like, yeah, I thought I'd made it, And I realised that every other fucking comedian avoids this interview.
I was like a sitting duck. That said, though, the woman that does it, Nicole Cervezkic, normally she's very good. She's actually a good interviewer.
Yeah.
She goes out of the comic. Oh.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. But to travel in for that whole... Oh, man.
One time I did it, and I think I was late for the gig because of the bloody...
Because of the radio interview.
Yeah, because of the radio interview, because you got to drive 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's the nature of fame.
Yeah, I don't know if... I think I mentioned on this once. I said to them, yeah, I'm from the country, I'm from New England, where Barnaby Joyce... I saw Barnaby Joyce and Tony Windsor in a fight once over who had the biggest bull bar at the party. And she's like, oh, yeah, like that sarcastic. Yeah, I said, yeah, they got in a fist fight. I broke it up, though. And, at the end of it, she just goes, you're a disgrace.
Isn't that?
I don't know, this lady, it was funny though. She's like, because I had her on this whole time,
You're
a disgrace, Nick. And I was like, I am.
Disgrace.
But, I guess that's just when you're lost for words. Over like, what the fuck has this interview become? It's a waste of both of our time.
I don't know how am I
going to
park.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going to park, man. Is 3AW kind of one of those ones where they just play the sport when they got nothing else to play?
That's more SEN.
Okay.
And those ones, 3AW is more, they just have talk back.
Oh, talk
back. So it's like, let's get old ladies and old guys ringing up.
Yeah, I reckon they should all get back to their own country.
Yeah. Oh, they have a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on.
Oh, yes. Hello, Philip. All they need to do is everyone needs a job.
Yeah.
Give them a job, they'll get off the drugs.
National service is always a big guy. National service. When I was a boy. So I think he's going to talk about tonight what makes people laugh. That'll be good. Dad's Army will come up.
Dad's Army.
It Ain't Life Hot, Mum. It'll be all, Paul Hogan.
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, I love Hogan's Heroes. I watched it the other night. Bloody funny.
My mum was a big fan of Hogan's Heroes, and we bought it for her for Christmas, and we had a good laugh. It was real funny. Yeah. And then we bought her this other one she always wanted to call Steptoe and Son.
Yeah, Steptoe and Son's funny.
And I was like, I remember watching it.
Depressing.
It was so depressing.
Yeah. It's about a father and son in a junkyard, isn't it? Yeah. It's great. But that, you know, they won a competition. That show was in a competition.
Really?
Yeah, they used to do this thing called BBC Showcase. And that won the competition. Yeah. And so did Are You Being Served? I think.
Really?
I'm free. Yeah, oh. that was in a competition too. Yeah.
Are You Being Served? That was
remember
great.
That? Mrs. Slocum. Ah, pussy, it was wet in the rain.
it's just
innuendos.
Innuendos the whole
time.
And then
John him and the gay go, I'm free. It's like, my dad would sit there and fucking piss himself.
Oh, man.
Ain't Half Hot Mum was his favourite one because A, it was a military, so Dad was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
B, it was set in India, so you had all those Indian jokes. And C, it had blokes dressing up in dresses in pantomimes. So it just had all the ingredients of a great comedy in his eyes. And he loved how the guy would go. At the end of every show, it was not a new thing. It was the same thing every bloody time. There'd be a sitar playing, like, and the English sergeant would go, shut up! And it was not re-recorded every week. It was the same.
Yeah.
My dad would laugh every week at this great joke. Shut up! Oh, I bloody loved it.
So I love that. When I was a kid, you'd have the Saturday evening around 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
For some reason, they only played the British shows then.
Yeah, like the goodies and stuff like that.
Yeah, or some others do have
them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was incredible.
I watched the other night that roller skating scene, which he did himself, Michael Crawford, the guy
really?
Who played. Ooh, Betty, the cat's done whoopsie on the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
He does this amazing roller skating stunt. So he comes, he's at the roller skating rink with Betty.
Yeah.
And he flies out the doors. He goes down a road, hangs onto a truck, goes over a bridge. It's like an amazing stunt. And he did it himself.
Oh, that's amazing. And
there's some head of the ABC who's the head of ABC in Australia is called Brendan. And his wife is that guy's daughter. Is Michael Crawford's daughter. So his father-in-law is Michael Crawford.
Jesus.
Oh, Betty.
Because Michael Crawford, he was an opera singer.
Yeah, that's right. He became a musical guy. That's right.
And that's like the lady in Mrs. Bucket.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Bucket. Oh, my parents love that too.
I love that show.
It was always the mayor was coming over, so she had to move her Bogan brother.
I just want to watch it now. Yeah.
Out of the... Yeah. Oh, what was his name? Oscar or...
Oh, yeah.
Oslo.
Yeah. Oslo, yeah. Oslo. Winslow, no.
Yeah, yeah. they had those great British. They're all like theatre, like variety panto actors. Those guys.
Yeah, well, I had to. I worked in the ABC shop, and I just used to sit in there bored all day.
You used to watch them.
And I just used to watch. I go, oh, I wonder if Are You Being Served still holds up. And I put it up, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, it's pretty.
Probably not.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hold up. But then, bloody Mrs. Bucket.
Mrs. Bouquet, yeah.
Mrs. Oh, that held up.
That held up?
Oh, it holds up so good.
Fuck, that's funny.
Because, and do you know why? I wasn't until I looked on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
She was a serious actor.
Yes.
She wasn't a comedy actor, but she hated all the class stuff.
Ah, okay.
And she'd grown up with people like Mrs. Bucket. They were fairly common. Because, right. Like, kind of like the guy in The Office, we all know a Mrs. Bucket.
Yes. What about One Foot in the Grave?
I never watched that.
The retired guy?
Victor Mildrew? I watched a little bit of that.
Oh, that was good.
And they had the neighbours next door.
Yeah, the bloody whopper wrappers on my... The classic grumpy retired guy.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant... When I was in London once, I went to a live recording of it, like a radio play. Yeah, that was great.
They love their radio plays.
Yeah, well, that's good, though. That's the way it should happen. They develop their shows as radio... Maybe I'll park here. They develop their shows as radio plays, and then they smash it.
Yeah, I bought Flight of the Conchords on CD. That was a BBC radio play, and the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, that's right. I got the Boosh one, too.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yes.
On the Hitcher. Let me paint you a picture.
What happened to your suit? Oh, the zip broke. It is funny. It's a measure of those shows if you still quote stuff from them.
Yeah.
It's like... the Boosh is... The best Boosh episode is the party one. Remember the party one? So that's when... This is a TV show.
Yeah.
Which... what's his name? Not Julian, the other... No, Julian's having a party.
Yeah.
So he's the straight guy. The jazz-loving. And he goes to Noel... I don't want you to make a big entrance. It's my birthday party. Oh, please don't make... Great. Do you remember that? And he comes out, on a sleigh held by slaves or beautiful women or something like that with fanfare. Don't make a big entrance. It's my party.
I like it how they're in this surreal world, but every now and then they bring up things. He goes...
Yeah, it's just normal suburban stuff. He goes... That's why it's so good.
We went on a gap year. He goes, you went on a gap year. Remember you used it all that time trying to find a torch? Oh, look at this torch.
And when he goes to Bob Fossil, goes... And he makes his speech at the party, and it's going very badly. He goes, and my good friend Bob Fossil, and Bob Fossil goes, I don't know him. I just met him on a bus. Rich Fulcher, that's his name. Very funny.
I saw that Rich Fulcher guy when he did one of the characters from it, Eleanor the Tour Whore.
Yeah, right. I saw his show in Melbourne when he had the great Xavier Michelides playing his sidekick.
And he had a real good line, and he goes, my dad was a whaler, but he was afraid of boats, so he just used to harpoon the whales from the beach.
Good shows, man.
Oh, man.
Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
The Boosh. They should get back together. I think they are. I heard they were getting back together.
There's a guy I do gigs with whenever I go to Perth Fringe. I always see him, Joey Page. He's a real nice fella. And he's a good comic. Really good comic. And he's married to a girl from Perth. And he just does Perth Fringe and that's it. But Noel Felding saw him do stand-up once.
Yeah.
And he got him on... got him to write for his luxury comedy
show. Yeah, sure.
And then he said, oh, what are you doing today, Noel? And he goes, oh, I'm just going on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. He goes, oh, can I come along and have a look? And he goes, yeah. And like, this is one of the biggest panel shows ever.
Yeah, of course.
And he goes and he has a watch, and then they're talking to the guys after it, and Noel goes, oh, you should put this guy on. And they go, yeah, do you want to come on in a couple of weeks?
Fucking hell.
And he was just like open mic kind of guy.
And did he go on?
Yeah, he said he went on twice.
Jesus.
Yeah. And he said that he wasn't that good at stand-up then. So people were wanting to see him, and then he didn't deliver as well. So he's like, fuck. Yeah, but he's doing well for him. He's a real good comic.
Is he still going?
Yeah, Joey Page. I think he's having a good Edinburgh run from the looks of it.
That's good.
Yeah, great guy.
You're listening to The Debrief with regular contributor Nick Happer. He's almost on a wage now. Hey guys, this is a great sponsor. The Debrief is supported by Beyond Rest. Now, if you want to get into a flotation tank around the Melbourne area, this is the place to do it. I've had a crack and it's very relaxing. Beyond Rest provides the most relaxing flotation tank experiences in Australia. Locations across Melbourne. Visit beyondrest.com.au. On with the show. We're back on The Debrief, Nick. The questions are coming. You've been asked before. What went well tonight and why, you reckon?
I think what went well was
in your set.
It's gone well the last four nights. It's just getting into it real quick.
Yeah, with a more suburban crowd, you can't muck around, can you?
No.
It's not conversational.
Yep.
Because it's almost too big a room to do a lot of crowd work or anything.
Yeah, yep.
Well, what didn't go well?
I think the gig went really well, but I think from what I could gather, I could have been in the moment a lot earlier. It's not till I'm like halfway through the set that I go, I can move around a bit now.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay.
I can move around, I can be myself.
Is that because you're anxious, kind of?
Yeah, yeah, I do it a lot when I'm in, when I play big shows, like, yeah, you know, 300 or 400 people.
And also, that place is just having a look at you and saying, is this guy appropriate for our room, kind of thing?
Yeah, I think also...
The guys that run it.
Well, I think also because you have, when you have a room with a lot of people in it,
yeah,
the... It's an advantage because when a joke hits and it's well written,
yeah,
it goes crazy.
Yeah,
in a room full of people, so therefore you're like, well, I don't need to move around.
Yeah,
but then you realise, oh, hang on, if I move around, it makes it even better.
Yeah,
and it shows that people just think that I'm making it up on the spot.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's the trick.
Yeah.
But then your organisational hazards have gotten in the way, or
do you know what I did? I didn't put the microphone stand far enough behind me, so I kind of boarded myself.
Yeah,
like, so I couldn't really move. It. Yeah, so I couldn't move backwards really. So
it's
I was just
like rub up against it. Like, it gives me security. I don't know why. I like feeling it there. That's funny, Mike Sands. Brad Oakes, who's another regular on this show, he's bought one now because there's so many gigs you go to where they don't have one. They just hand you the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves it. He loves a mic stand because, of course, he doesn't take it out much. He likes to hide it. Have it in the stand.
Once Damien Power and I did a gig and the mic didn't work and we're on standing on top of this crate in a brewery in Brisbane.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they said, well, the mic doesn't work. What do you want to do? They'll be able to hear you anyway. And I said, we both said, no, just give us the mic anyway. Just to hold it.
So we can hold it. Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
And it was fun.
Excellent. How can we do better next time?
You're going to be next one. Be in the moment quicker.
Be in the moment quick. Get in there. I mean, sometimes you do a gig and it's like you're watching it yourself and you're like, no, you can actually be in there and live it.
And I think also, I was only doing a 7-minute spot and I just cut the stuff that I wanted to do at the time, but it was all blue.
Oh,
all
really?
Blue material. 100%. All fucking inappropriate. All, and that's great. Like, they loved it. You know, that's the kind of stuff they like. But it needs to be one little
cleaner.
You know. So
you don't want to be the Andrew Dice Clay of Melbourne. Maybe you do.
No, man.
The Dice Clay.
I'll be getting complaints all over the place. What if my mum comes to watch me?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, what a bloody disgrace.
Nick, you don't have to be rude to be funny. You don't have to. Well, I'm going to go and do my interview. Now, you're going to get a tram? I haven't driven you home.
I'll get a
You can come to the interview if you want.
Look, it sounded like a great idea at the time, but I got to get a flight at 6
o'clock. Yeah, all right. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Nick.
All right, mate. See you around.
I'll see you again. Regular contributor.
Yes. See you next week.
Hey guys, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast with comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper.
Yep. Yeah, it's a podcast where we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phones. So the results are both cringy and funny.
Also sending hacks from each other's accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been ruining our lives, but it's been highly entertaining. So make sure you get in on it. It's on the Nearly Network as well. Check it out.
Yep, please check it out because we've sacrificed a lot.